Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, remember yesterday we left off with Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians saying this, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." And here Paul was showing us what true Christianity is, and this is a beautiful definition of Christianity, that all of his life now was in pursuance of this goal, this end of attaining and pressing on towards and laying hold of that which has been laid hold for him in Christ Jesus. And remember, we have in mind there when Christ had laid hold of Paul on the road to Damascus and saved him. "There was no more fighting against me," said Jesus, was the whole point. You can't kick against the goads. Christ had grasped Paul, and Paul now is saying to them and saying to us, the Christian life is living for the goal of grasping back that which has already grasped you. It's a really beautiful, beautiful picture of Christianity and a beautiful reality he's describing. And we looked at yesterday, this has to be our story too. There is no other test of our Christianity, its veracity, its genuineness, its sincerity, than whether or not we can relate to what Paul is here describing. This is why I said yesterday, theology that teaches that we first grasp God without his intervention of Christ grasping us by his sovereign drawings is dangerous. Paul is saying, I was going one way, and all of a sudden, I was apprehended. I was apprehended by the living Christ. And he's saying, now my entire life is oriented to apprehend and attain to this goal because of the fact that I have been first apprehended by Jesus Christ. And this must be true of us. We may not have been exposed to this kind of dramatic conversion that Paul had, but he expects this to be the reality of every true Christian. He expects what we know and profess and believe to take root in the heart. He expects every Christian to come to a cognitive and sharp awareness that the living and the personal Christ has apprehended them, and now their whole disposition, their values, their thoughts, their desires are simply to grasp back the very one who has grasped them, because we are in awe of this one who has grasped us, of this given us this wonderful salvation. Only the true Christian can know what I'm describing. And if this doesn't describe you, the question then is, what else are you grasping other than Christ? Maybe you're grasping for your own self-will or their own pursuits of this life. But Paul's story must be our story. I remember for me personally, at the age of 21, I was drawn to the book of Romans. And as I read it over and over, I finally, after all of the years being even raised in a Christian home, being catechized, and years after my profession of faith, all of the sudden, and I'd never had this happen before, I understood that I was a wretched sinner. And I understood the gospel. And I could say, I was grasped. I was apprehended by the living Christ. I wanted him. I no more wanted this world. Something had shaken me up and I was alive. I know that time in my life, maybe not the date or the hour, but I know the opening of my heart by the living Christ and his grasping of my soul. I know that everything I had been taught and believed that was in my head had now taken root in the seat of my heart. And I wanted to grasp back the one who had grasped me. And then, of course, the fight began. I longed to grow in my understanding of the one who had grasped me. And Paul is saying this must be true of every Christian. When this true apprehension of the heart is taken by the living Christ, there becomes this goal of the Christian life. And that is here what Paul is describing. I'm pressing on for the very thing for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Christ has laid hold of me so that my whole pursuance of life, that I might arrive at this particular goal, that I might attain to this, he says. What is it? What is he trying to attain to? What is the pursuance of his life? Some have said it's the future resurrection from the dead, but that's not what he's talking about. He's pressing on with this goal now. He sees that the future has everything to do with beginnings that take place in the present. He was apprehended by Christ for this certain ambition, this certain goal of his life. What is that goal? Well, he's already told us somewhat of it in verses 4 through 11 of chapter 3. He speaks of the religious things in which he used to put his confidence. And in the whole summary is that all of these things, this system that has its own righteousness, this confidence in the flesh, he said, I count as dung for the gaining of this other righteousness, which has become the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. The righteousness, he says, which is from God by faith. But verse 10 tells us then this whole goal of his life. This is the goal he's saying every Christian must have. Listen to Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul says, I haven't yet attained to this. I haven't reached this in perfection, but all of my life as a Christian has this as its goal, to know Christ, to have this intimate, growing, vibrant relationship with the living Christ, a relationship based on a knowledge of him, a pursuit of this knowledge to really know him. How so? In the power of his resurrection. Now, Paul had said this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes, he said to the Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now Paul is saying, I've set my heart to desire the knowledge of Christ and the power of his resurrection. So we can say maturity is then in what you know. Doctrine about Christ enables you to perceive and to grasp, to lay hold of this power that is made available to you right now through Christ's resurrection. What power? Dunamis in the Greek, a power to know and live in the full assurance in the promises of the gospel. That Christ has first grasped you, to know it and to really believe it. A power to know and live that sin no longer shall have dominion over me. That the things that once controlled my mind to which I was a slave to now has been broken in Christ. That I have power now available to me through the Holy Spirit, that every thought can be brought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. And therefore, this knowledge and the power of Christ's resurrection delivers me from what once had controlled my heart and my mind as a child of wrath. It is power to seek the design that the Father has for my life to be more conformed to the image of Christ. And through that conformity, a closer, intimate union with this Jesus. Paul says it is a power in your knowing of Christ that allows you to see through the difficult trials of life and the sufferings of this life that you are partakers of and join in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his very death. In the knowledge of Christ, his very life is being reproduced in me. And so we put this together. I haven't already attained to this perfect knowledge of Christ, but I press on. Because Christ has apprehended me, therefore I press on. I long to attain it. This knowledge is the desire of my heart. And so we must understand this, my friends. Paul says, I've not yet attained to this, but it is the goal of my life, the yearning of my heart, the direction of my steps. But there is still a dissatisfaction of things not yet attained to while I live in the flesh. And it's that very dissatisfaction that compels him to press on. Now, here's a very important point for us today. In writing to these struggling Philippians who were suffering for their faith, who were being persecuted, such a statement gave them great comfort. The trials, the pains, the struggles, the sufferings of this present evil age make the believer in Christ long for the other world. And even so, though there's this underlining joy that fills the heart as Christians, the very dissatisfaction of the things not yet compels us to long for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This home is not our world. This world is not our home. We are in pursuance of something heavenly. We are in pursuance of another land, the heavenly land. But what a tough message to sell to the American church, right? In our complacency, we've built a satisfaction on things temporary. We've built a satisfaction on comfortability structures that we pursue with this goal of happiness. And with just the massive wealth and the resources that we have, a yearning for the city of God is an absent thing. I mean, honestly, Paul said it earlier in the book, whether I live or die, if I had a choice, I don't even know what to choose, because it's far better to die and to go to be with the living Christ. I mean, do we ever have that perspective? I mean, could it be that we don't have that perspective because we're longing for and searching for and seeking to gain the things of this world? We don't really produce in our heart the kind of longing, dissatisfaction that makes us long for the other world, that makes us yearn in the heart for the full knowledge of Christ and knowing Him in the state of perfection that will be ours when we are resurrected. It's exactly what James Boyce said. If you want an easy time as a Christian, all you have to do is get far away from Jesus Christ. Move to the periphery of the battle, and you'll be easy. Satan will leave you alone. Where do you stand today? Do you know this Jesus? Have you come to know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings? Well, then, my friends, if you haven't, believe in this Jesus today. Repent of your sins, fall before Him, and He will give you and grant to you the kind of life that is in pursuance of the other world that is yours when you come to know Him in true faith. May Jesus then be our all in all as we wait today together as Christians for the time when He will come and take us to our eternal land of rest.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.